Welcome to Journal Club for November 14th, 2024. I'm Malcolm Diggs. In 1916, Albert Einstein predicted the existence of gravitational waves, disturbances or ripples in space-time, transient displacements in a gravitational field. Gravitational waves, GWs, would be caused, he said, by massive accelerated objects like colliding black holes or neutron stars. But he also predicted that GWs would be extremely difficult to measure, requiring incredibly sensitive instruments. At the time of his prediction, there was no way to prove him right or wrong. The equipment of the day simply wasn't sensitive enough to do either. So the scientific community waited, and waited, and waited. In the 1970s, we first began to prove GW's existence indirectly. But it wasn't until 2015 that we were finally able to measure them directly. Almost 100 years after Einstein first made his prediction, a team of researchers at the Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory, LIGO, built a platform that was finally capable of directly detecting and measuring gravitational waves. On September 14th, they did just that. It's difficult to overstate how momentous of an accomplishment this was, and how many decades of human hours had gone into it. But as soon as they accomplished that incredible feat and checked that box, a new challenge emerged. The goal shifted from detection towards the rigorous analysis of all the data that accompanied detection. Gravitational wave data is unwieldy. The datasets are huge, the signals are weak, and the noise is loud. It's tough data to work with, it's punishing. And the scientists who are lucky enough to get their hands on it have found themselves needing to invent new ways to process it, analyze it, and learn from it. That's where today's paper comes in. The author's vision is pretty bold. They're conceptualizing a platform where other scientists can train and develop new machine learning models specifically for gravitational wave analysis. The issue they spotted and the problem they're trying to solve is that there are currently no comprehensive AI-based platforms specifically for GW data analysis. Their solution is GWAI, Gravitational Wave Artificial Intelligence, a three-layer application, infrastructure layer, application layer, interaction layer, that aims to bridge this gap by providing an integrated suite of tools covering the entire pipeline. This system is modular and extensible, and is designed to handle all phases of the model creation and testing process, from data loading to model training and evaluation. Let's walk through that user flow in more detail. That is, rather than itemizing and analyzing the components of each of the software's layers, I think it will be more interesting to look at the software from the user's perspective, and then peer deeper into the stack at specific places. Here we go. To get started with GWAI, a user would first load in gravitational wave data. This is often a raw, complex time series of strain measurements, but it can take many other forms as well. This kind of data can require significant pre-processing to make it manageable. For starters, there can be multiple sources of noise, and they all need to be dealt with. There's noise from terrestrial disturbances. There's noise from seismic disturbances. There's noise from human activities. There's even noise from the experimental instruments themselves, and more. GWAI's pre-processing tools allow researchers to filter out this noise, and this improves the data quality for the next stages. Next, users can choose to generate synthetic data if they need it and they want it. You're probably saying, didn't they just import data? Why would they need to generate more? Good question. Two main reasons. One, the real data is sparse after the noise gets filtered out, or two, the real data requires augmentation. Either way, synthetic data generation can help. GWAI allows users to select which astrophysical phenomena they want to fake data for. Remember, GWs can be caused by things like black hole mergers, neutron star collisions, or galactic binary systems. Within GWAI, a user can say, I want fake data for this particular type of source. Then, they can customize parameters depending on the source they chose, like mass, distance, and other physical attributes. The goal here being to generate data that closely resembles what would be real-world observations. In the next phase, researchers can add or remove modules to configure their analysis pipeline based on their specific research goals. For example, if a user's focus is signal detection, they can activate only the relevant signal detection and related modules. Generally, all of this is done through a GUI, but they also have an API to automate tasks or incorporate custom models and algorithms. Once the data and pipelines are constructed, the user proceeds to the model building phase. GWAI supports multiple architectures, including multi-layer perceptrons, MLPs, convolutional neural networks, and transformers. Each one offers specific advantages. MLPs are adept at general pattern recognition and are suitable for foundational tasks, while CNNs excel in analyzing time series data, making them ideal for GW data where signal patterns unfold over time. Transformers, known for their strength in handling sequential data, are effective for identifying patterns in time series data, such as the repeating waveform of a GW signal. Once trained, models can be evaluated with loss functions, like mean square error and mean absolute error, and distributional divergences, like Jensen-Shannon and Kullback-Leibler, which quantify the differences between the predicted and actual distributions. Jensen-Shannon divergence, for example, measures similarity between two probability distributions. Additionally, visualization tools such as activation maps for CNNs and attention maps for transformers help the researchers interpret the model's focus, providing insights to which data features the model prioritizes during analysis. Task-specific evaluations are tailored to the type of analysis the user is doing. For detection tasks, the system supports receiver operating characteristic, ROC curves, and area under the curve metrics, which measure the model's ability to distinguish between genuine GW signals and noise. Denoising tasks, on the other hand, use specialized loss functions like scale invariant signal-to-noise ratio to assess the model's effectiveness in isolating GW signals from noisy data. And that is the full user flow in a nutshell. After building it, the authors conducted several different run-throughs to make sure it's effective. For example, they tested the platform's denoising capability using the Waveformer model, an architecture for extracting signals from noisy backgrounds. These particular results showed improvements in signal clarity, particularly in space-based GW data. Their evaluation also included an ablation study on model components, which revealed that OCE and residual connections were pivotal for effective denoising, while GSA was less impactful alone. They also performed several runs of hyperparameter tuning, with configurations optimized for handling long-range dependencies. They did all of these run-throughs and simulations just to validate that the system is now ready to use. Again, it's important to remind ourselves, this is just a platform. They built the system on which others can train models and perform analysis. So, unlike other papers where there is a model that needs to be evaluated, or an algorithm that needs to be put through its paces, this is different. This simply creates an easier-to-use, more straightforward tool for other researchers to now go do those things. Hopefully, in the coming months and years, we'll see the research community do just that and start publishing their results. And when they do, you'll be sure to hear about it right here. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.